ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। From Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text Number 8 and 9. Drishva Yashoda Pramukha Raja Sriya. Drishva Yashoda Pramukha Raja Sriya. Otantike karmani yaha samagataha. Otantike karmani yak samagataha. Nandadayas chadbhuta darshana kutala. Nandadayas chad bhuta darshana kulaha. Katam svayam vai sakatam viparyagat. Katam svayam vai sakatam viparyagat. Translation. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies were assembled for the Uttana festival, and all the men headed by Nanda Maharaj saw the wonderful situation, they began to wonder how the handcart had collapsed by itself. They began to wonder here and there, trying to find the cause, but were unable to do so. In response, please. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies who had assembled for the Uttana festival. Uchur avya visita matin gopan gopis jabalakaha rudantanena padena shiptam etan nasam shayaha. The assembled cowherd men and ladies began to contemplate how this thing had happened. It is the work of some demon or evil planet, they asked. At that time, the small children present asserted that the cart had been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the cart's wheel, the cart had collapsed. There was no doubt about it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We have heard of people being haunted by ghosts. Having no gross material body, a ghost seeks shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. The Shakatasura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the handcart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the cart with his small, very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled, as already described. This was possible for Krishna because he has full potency, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.32. Angani asya sakalendriya vritimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinma sadudvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna's body is Sakchit Ananda Vigraha, or Ananda Chinmayaras Vigraha. That is, any of the parts of his Ananda Chinmaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them. Thus Krishna kicked his little legs and his whole purpose was fulfilled. Also, when the handcart broke, an ordinary child could have been injured in so many ways. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoyed the dismantling of the cart and nothing injured him. Everything done by him is an under Chinmaya Ras, full of transcendental bliss. Thus Krishna factually enjoyed. The nearby children saw that actually Krishna had kicked the wheel of the cart, and this was how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. But in fact, everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chinmaya Ras. They are liberated from the material platform. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sa gunam samatichetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. Or in other words, whoever engaged in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. So this is why Krishna, one of the reasons Krishna appears in the material world. We cannot imagine an ordinary child doing such a thing. And so all Krishna's activities are meant to awaken the living entity in the deep slumber of material existence to spiritual life. So all his activities are out of this world. Why? Because Krishna's full of all transcendental energies, full of all opulences. Natasya karam charanam cha vidyate, natat sam cha vidhas cha dishyate, parashya shakter vividaiva surite, svabhiki jnana bala kriyacha. Nobody's above Krishna. It's impossible. Nobody's equal to Krishna. And all his energies, unlike we think, how will I do this? How will I do that? So many things we're always contemplating, having to make great endeavour to do the least little thing. Parashya shaktir vividaiva surite. But Krishna's potencies are all working automatically. They're working just by his will. What's that word? There's one word which explains how Krishna, just by thinking, it happens. I can't remember. So this is Krishna. Parashya shakti vividaiva surite. Svabhiki jnana bala kriyacha. Bala kriyacha. Bala means strength. Kriya, action. Svabhiki, by his own internal potency. So we have some small ability, but not like Krishna. So Krishna is full in six opulences. Everybody in this material world, what are they looking for? They're looking for these six opulences. Everybody wants to be very beautiful. We can do so many things if we're very beautiful. Given great empires have fallen by the flickering of the eyelids of the opposite sex. Has anybody got any Indian examples? I know in Europe I can think of many. Any great empires in India which have fallen due to the eyelids of a woman? No? They're all transcendental in India. In Europe there's Napoleon and Josephine. There's Antony and Cleopatra. Even Hitler, he had a girlfriend. So this is Maya, the potency of the Lord. Very, very powerful. So everybody wants to be beautiful because we're beauty, we have power. We have so much power. But it's very short-lived. We went to Croatia. The brahmacharis at Bhaktivedanta Manor, they went to Croatia. We had a retreat there. In England, you can get flights very cheaply if you get them early enough. So 25 brahmacharis, they can go for next to nothing. So we flew to Croatia, a couple of hours plane ride. And as I was getting off the plane, I noticed this woman, and she was dressed in clothes for a 20-year-old woman. And when she looked up, her face was 80. And all of a sudden I felt really sorry for her. I thought, why is she doing that? Anybody any ideas? Why is she doing that? Because she doesn't have any knowledge. She thinks she's the body. And therefore, it's all she's got to hang on to. And at 80 years old, you know, the next breath may be the last one. And she's still thinking, let me be 25. She knows deep down, I can't attract anybody. But it's the only thing she has. This is material existence. So yes, everybody wants to have that opulence, but what's the point? What's the point? We can't keep it. Even after 10 years, 20 years, we see lines coming, the face starts to sag, the belly starts to come out. Just forget it. What's the next one? Well, we said beauty, Sriya, Yashash, fame. What's that word? Aishvayasya Samagrasya. Virayasyashashriya. Jnana Vairagyachas Chaiva. Samambhaga Itingina. So we said Sriya, Yashash. Yashash. This is, what's this? Fame. Everybody wants to be famous. Devotees don't want to be famous, do they? Is that right? We are very humble. We want to remain the servant of the servant. We don't want glorifying for our service. Is that right? Even there, it's in the heart. We like to be recognized. I see Prabhupada said a devotee should be recognized. We should glorify a devotee's service. But the devotee shouldn't be looking for that. We should be thinking, let me just, what's the example? I think everybody's heard the example of salt. It's a South Indian example, I think. That, you know, salt, when we taste a nice preparation, we think, oh, what did you put in that, Prabhu? I put cumin, ginger, a little bit of hing, and some salt. Oh, they never mention the salt. And then maybe a little bit of turmeric. Wow, that's really good. They never even mention salt. But if they don't put the salt in, what will happen? They won't taste anything. So that's a devotee. He doesn't want fame. We should aspire to be like the salt. We never even mentioned, but we're making everything work very nicely. We're doing so much in Krishna's service. And actually, if we do that, what happens? Is that the devotees appreciate us. The devotees can see this devotee is doing so much service. And inside they're thinking, I wish I could be like that. So detached. Oh, that's the next one, detachment, isn't it? Vairagyachas chaiva. That's something which in the material world people don't know much about. People don't really think vairagya is a very big opulence. In fact, it's not an opulence, it's a what? Exactly the opposite. Nobody wants to be. Everybody wants to be up there. Everybody wants everything. But a devotee, when he develops this vairagya, then he becomes really peaceful in devotional service. This is one thing Lord Chaitanya wanted us to develop. Nidya Bhakti Yoga, Shikshathameka Purushaprana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shariradari Kripambhuri Yastvam Aham Prabhajate. He appeared to what? Bring us real knowledge. Krishna's his devotion to Krishna and detachment from anything which won't foster our devotional service. So this one is a very powerful one. One of the three things Lord Chaitanya said a devotee should aspire for. What's the next one? We've had three already. Any more? Strength. So what's this one? Vairagya. Strength. So strength, I once watched the television many, many years ago before I joined the movement. But they used to have this program. Everything comes from America, is that right? It comes to Britain first, or the Europe, after about 5-10 years. And then many years later, it comes to India. But I used to watch this program. It was about the one particular problem. It was about outstanding things in this world. And one was about the strongest men. And every week they used to have a competition. And this week they had a big articulated truck. Is that what you call them in India? It's one of those big trucks with a trailer on the back, and they took the handbrake off and they tied a rope to it, and they had to put a rope around these strong men and they had to pull the articulated truck. If anybody could move it, then they were considered very, very powerful. So this is the people were watching like anything. Wow, look at that. So strength, people like a strong person. Strong in character also. What's another one? Jnana. Do people like, in this world, do most materialists like people who are very educated? Is education an attraction, would you say? Yeah? I used to also have programs on the television where they have the quiz programs. And people are amazed. These are very... But these things are all temporary during this lifetime. Krishna has all these things in full. This is the point. So how do we get those things in full? This is what we're searching for. We're searching for something which is permanent. And we're making do with things which are very, very temporary. So, next point is a devotee wants these opulences. That's another thing. A devotee does want these opulences. Prabhupada was once by one of his devotees in the 70s. It was in India, I think. One yogi, they took a picture and put it on the front page of the newspaper. And his disciples were offering him bundles of notes, money. And he was going like this. I don't want. And they showed it to Prabhupada. He said, they will do that with me, I will go like this. So in the beginning of devotional service, we don't want attachment to things. Actually, Krishna arranges things so that a devotee has just the bare necessities. Why? Because we're very much attached, and if we have too much, then we get carried away. So, when Krishna likes somebody... No, that's the wrong one, actually. But later on, a devotee can start to learn how to use these things. So then Krishna provides more and more and more. Just like Prabhupada, he came to America with 40 rupees. And when after a few years, he owned 108 temples. He was a multimillionaire. He said, I'm one of the richest men in the world. But he said, I'm detached. In Detroit, he didn't have a temple. He had two very wealthy disciples. One was the head of the Labour Party. Her father was the head of the Labour Party. So Reuter was it. And another one was Ford. He had a disciple, Ambrish Ford. And he went. They spotted this big mansion. And Prabhupada looked round it. And he spoke with the owner, and he got the mansion for the price of one room. The whole mansion had many, many rooms, but he got the whole mansion for the price of one room. Anyway, this is Prabhupada's expertise. But he said to his disciples afterwards, he says, just see, he says, I had, and then he bartered for the price of the building, but he says, I don't have any money. And the owner was flabbergasted, he didn't know what to say. He says, but my disciples, they have money. And so he turned to his disciples, he says, can you pay for this? And they immediately paid, or they made arrangements. And Prabhupada said, just see, I came to see this house and I didn't have anything. I'm going away and I don't have anything. And the movement has a multi-million pound temple. So this is Prabhupada's expertise in showing this principle of yukta vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service. Earlier on in his life, actually, Prabhupada wondered about this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, when I especially favour somebody, I gradually take away all his opulences, all his wealth. Then the friends and relatives of that poverty-stricken beggar, they all reject him. And he suffers one misery after another. And he's got no alternative but to turn to me. And so Prabhupada was wondering about this, and eventually it happened to Prabhupada, and he was sitting in the, I think it was a Vamsivat temple in Vrindavan. He stayed for some time, and he started to laugh to himself. He says, yes, where are all my friends and relatives now? Where is all my wealth? He says, they've all gone. And he could understand the purport of how Krishna is actually merciful when he takes those things away. But this is actually the second, this is not the best form of renunciation. Best form of renunciation, as we've just said, is yukta vairagya. A devotee, when he reaches that platform, this is the highest platform of devotional service, is to not be attached to what we have and to use it as a service to Krishna. This is real renunciation. So this is what every devotee should be aspiring for. That we don't unnecessarily give up things. Prapanchikataya budayo hari sambandha vastano mokshavir parichyago vairagyam falyu katyate. When one renounces something without understanding its proper relationship with the Lord, this is called falgu vairagya, or renunciation which is not properly, without knowledge, without proper understanding. But anasaktasya vishayam yataram upayunjita nirbanda krishna sambande yukta vairagya uchite. But when one understands how everything is related to Krishna and he uses it in that way, then he's properly positioned above possessiveness. Is that right? But we have to be very, very careful. These material objects, these material things are very, very attractive. And a devotee has to be constantly on his guard that he doesn't become bewildered by that. How does he not become bewildered? How does he realize, like this verse is saying, that it's Krishna's power? We don't really want that power because it, to a materialist, it completely destroys our attempt to become spiritual. It has the opposite effect, material things. And so a devotee is very cautious. So this is the process, is that he learns to see that actually even this body I have, even this opulence I have, everybody has a particular opulence. Somebody may be good at working with their hands, somebody may be good at working with their brain, doing business for Krishna. And we tend to think that this is my ability. It's very deep rooted. Even though we know the philosophy, we've heard it so many times, and sometimes we fall asleep hearing it, we don't actually understand it. Because we don't apply it. What's real knowledge is applied knowledge. When it becomes a part of us, we know it to be true through factual realization. And so devotional service means hearing and then practicing what we've heard during the day. And then we get that factual renunciation. And that means remembering in every situation that even this body I have, even this intelligence I have, even this ability I have, it's not mine, it's not me. This is how we become detached. And this is how we become free from envy. Some devotee is doing a great service. Is it his ability? No, Krishna's empowered that person. Why has he empowered him? That's another thing. He's empowered him because he's qualified. He can accept that position and not become affected. So that's our duty in devotional service, is to not become affected by this, by our attachment to this body, to the mind, and to things centered around that, but to realize that everything is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are just instruments to use it in Krishna's service. Then we become peaceful. Somebody's doing great service, Krishna wants him to do that service. And then we feel satisfied that Krishna's benedicted me with some service. Most people cannot do service for Krishna. They're not given that opulence. But a devotee is always being given that opulence because he's following the instructions of the previous acharyas. And by those instructions, he's getting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that brings another question, actually. This verse is saying that a devotee who engages in Krishna's service, he can also enjoy the same rasa that Krishna's enjoying. Do we all enjoy that every day? When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we're in ecstasy, hearing about the pastimes of which are going off. Or sometimes we find it a little bit difficult. So where is that taste coming from? Why is it coming? Does anybody want to know that? Probably most of you know. But it's explained that in the Madhurya Kadambini that Krishna is rasavaisar. He's full of ras, full of taste, full of bliss. He enjoyed this pastime. He was blissful, even though he was a little baby kicking the cart. And we want to be blissful. Our nature is anandamaya vyasat also. So how do we? What's the secret of getting that bliss? We see that in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna is reciprocating with different living entities in different ways. He's capable of reciprocating with every one of us at the same time in a different way. Everybody has a particular relationship with Krishna, a peculiar relationship. It's different. And Krishna's administering to the needs of that living entity, reciprocating with that living entity. And he showed this when he walked into the arena in Mathura. He was looking for Kamsa. And everybody saw him in a different way. This is explained that this is Ras. How did the wrestlers see Krishna? He was like a thunderbolt. How did Kamsa see him? Ah! the cruel death of my life has just appeared. How did the ladies see him? Like Cupid personified. How did Vasudeva and Devaki see him? Just like a helpless child. How did the... Many different relationships. Everybody saw him differently. So this is Krishna. We have to learn the art of reciprocating with Krishna so we can also have this taste, this ras that it's explaining here. So it says that, actually Krishna doesn't have to reciprocate. This is one thing. Sometimes we think we're doing so much, making so much effort. Why doesn't Krishna reciprocate? Well, Krishna doesn't have to reciprocate. He's independent in that way. So it says that Krishna's internal potency, bhakti, is also independent. And this bhakti is described in the Sarvai Pumsham Paradamo Yato Bhakti Adokshati. Ahoitaki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasiddhi. Ahoitaki means that it is not motivated by anything. It's completely independent. So that seems a little bit difficult to understand. That bhakti is independent. So in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that if one is yarichcha, the word rajichcha means, and I can't remember the exact meaning, but sometimes it's explained as by good fortune we get bhakti. By good fortune we get a taste for hearing the shastras. This is the best good fortune. And then by that good fortune, we can advance, but it's not actually good fortune. Is a close resemblance to the real word. And later on in the 11th canto, a few verses later, it said that bhakti increases by its own power. In other words, it's explaining this point that bhakti is independent. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, let's take it that it does mean good fortune. Okay, we get bhakti by good fortune. So then we can say that what is the cause of that good fortune? It can't be a spiritual cause because that's ahoitaki, it's unmotivated. It must be a material cause. So that means it's the work we do in this world that causes bhakti. So that means it's under the law of karma, so it can't be good fortune. So then if we say, okay, there's no cause. Well, good fortune just comes on its own. That don't make sense. It just floats about and drops on somebody. No. So good fortune is not the cause of bhakti. So it's okay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of our getting bhakti. Would everybody say that's a good supposition? So it's okay then, but is it causeless? The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, is equal to everybody, he's not envious of anybody, he doesn't favour anybody. So Krishna's if Krishna is giving bhakti and he's not favorable to anybody or averse to anybody, why doesn't everybody get it? It doesn't happen, does it? Difference. We see some people get the taste, some people don't. So that's not true. So then we may say it's the mercy of the devotee. That's a good one, isn't it? The mercy of the devotee. We can't come to devotional service without what? The mercy of a devotee. So we seem to have found the answer here. But a devotee, he says, a preacher who gives, he discriminates. Is that right? I'll approach this person. I won't approach. He's envious. I'll not aggravate him. He's innocent. I'll approach him. This is a devotee. I'll reciprocate with him, and I'll worship the Supreme Personality of God. It is discriminating. So that means if it's the devotee, he's discriminating who to give bhakti to. So it can't be that either. But then it explains that we can't give something if we don't have it. Is that right? If we don't have something, how can we give something? So the same applies to devotion. We can only give what devotion we have. And when we have a little bit of devotional service, a little bit of bhakti, then we can give it to somebody else. So what's causing the devotee to preach and give to others? It's the devotion in his heart. It's Krishna's reciprocation in his heart. He has some, it gives him a taste. It urges him to give it to others. Good qualities arise from this bhakti, all good qualities. So he's being motivated by the bhakti within his own heart, which he's receiving from his superior, by the mercy of his superior. But the prime thing is, it's the bhakti which is doing it. He says, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is the point. We can't give something unless we have it, and we get it because somebody else has it. And that bhakti is enthusing that person to give it to you, and it's enthusing that person. We may be discriminating, but without the bhakti, we can't even make that choice. And that discrimination is also the mercy of the devotee. He doesn't approach an atheist or an antagonist. Why? Because he'll become more angry and more averse to devotional service. So it's his mercy. It's all mercy. And what is it? If we become preacher, if we preach, what does Bhagavad Gita say? No one is more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear to me than he. And so this movement is the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're meant to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then give it to others. And then we what do we do when we give it to others? We get more ras, we get more taste. It's not like we give something away and I wish I hadn't given that away, I'm suffering now. No, we get some more. We can give more and more and more. So not only the person receives, but the devotee receives. Yeah, so this taste is coming. We mentioned hearing. It mentioned in this verse. Let's find it. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Sargunam samatichetam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So just by constantly hearing, this is Ramananda Roy. What time do we finish? So anyway, so the process is hearing. By hearing, it said yadrichta, if one is fortunate, the fortunate person gets a taste for hearing. In the nectar of of devotion, he says, taste. Taste is governed by how taste or our attraction to devotional service is our taste for hearing. One who's got that taste in the beginning is very, very fortunate. And so we should try and hear this philosophy, especially from devotees who are fixed in the philosophy And especially in the Holy Dharm, when we, if we get the chance. I just was fortunate enough to go to Mayapur, and I haven't been on the Parikram for 20 years. And I went on the Parikram, and it was completely, I thought, why didn't I go? You know, from these places, they're not material. When we realize that, you know, this is actually the Holy Dharm. It says that when we get a little bit of a taste, that's the mercy of the Dharm. And we want more. That's what we're looking for. That little bit of a taste which we can increase. Taste for hearing, taste for going to holy places. We just keep doing it until Bhakti bestows the mercy upon us. So yes, hearing in the association of devotees, and especially hearing in the holy places. These are very, very powerful for developing this taste for Krishna consciousness. So we can stop there. If anybody has any comments or any questions, I'll try and answer. Okay. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.